Ready?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Send it.
Which one is it? Is it this one?
Yeah.
Hey, sport, you race four-wheelers?
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
A ten!
And now get ready for another episode of the Thumb Throttle Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. This is episode 27 of the Thumb Throttle Podcast. I'm your co-host, Colton Yankovic.
Hello, 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 and I'm your host.
Your closed.
Colton's dad.
Yep.
All right, so we're back after
we are back.
A week off. It's kind of hard to do this in the afternoon. I'd have to phone in from work and leave you up to the whole mixer board.
I'm good.
Yeah, no, I can't trust you with that. So, anything new and exciting going on?
Mm-mm.
Oh, no, nothing.
What about you?
Well, you know, just
same
keep
thing.
On, keep it on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got the bike done.
Yeah, we got one bike done. Doing a break-in. I mean, nothing like running it up to the last minute.
Nothing like it.
Yeah.
Always.
I mean, that's what we do. It's what I do.
What everyone does. Well, not everyone, just us.
No, yeah, just us. Everyone else is more responsible and time conscientious.
Yep. Anyways, what else do you want to talk about?
What do you want to talk about?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Well, I don't have anything to talk about. It's all on this piece of paper right here.
Well, you don't have anything to talk about. There's nothing that you would like to talk about that's not on this piece of paper.
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
I need to find a new co-host.
Where are you going to find one?
I don't know. Maybe I'll just
ask. eBay?
Maybe I'll ask anybody out there who wants to be a co-host. I'll have auditions. You have to be.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll put a job posting out there. So basically all my lacking values you're going to have. You're going to have to be organized on the spot. Whenever I have a moment of silence, you just kick in. Take down notes. Show That's ideas.
A good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talk more when the guests are
one.
On.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So... I guess I'll carry the show as always.
Go ahead then.
We have a race coming up this weekend, don't
oh,
we?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah, I have nothing to talk about.
I forgot.
You did not forget.
Yes, I did.
You've been so excited about this race for like the last 2 weeks that you can't even sleep.
Correction. Three.
But yet you forgot about it.
Yeah, I did. So, we have the first New East Coast coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to win.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm.
Is that your prediction?
That's my prediction.
All right. The 250 class youth AM
no,
race.
No. Overall.
Oh, okay. So, the predictions are in. You're writing that down? You're going to write it down in the book here?
Yep.
Colton Yankovic, first place overall.
Yep.
Youth.
Starting the year off strong.
Okay. Writing it down.
Remember that.
So the race.
Watch, I'll DNF.
God, I hope not. So the race this week is at C&J Raceway.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we're always there.
Yeah, I mean.
That's like another home track.
It's a nice close track. It's a good track.
Yeah.
Don't forget pre-registration. It closes on Thursday night.
Did you already pre-register me?
No, I have not. I tried to do it, but I couldn't get on. And it was nothing with the site. It was just my service. make sure that if you're pre-registering this year, they did something different with your tags. So if you don't have one, you can get one. No deal. No big deal.
Do we
there.
Need another one?
No,
we don't. I thought we do.
No, we should be good.
Where'd mine go?
I have it up here.
Oh, you took it off the helmet.
Yeah. Okay. So in the past, your tags always started with EE and then 55000 and then whatever.
Thanks for giving my tag out.
That's not your tag.
I'm kidding.
They all start the same way.
I'm kidding.
And then you had to put that in there. This year, to my understanding, instead of putting the EE 55000, you just have to put the numbers after the zeros, making everything a lot easier. So races start at, I know the youth race.
I know all of these.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I've done my research.
Okay. Well, then chime in.
All right. So the mini parade lap starts at 9. The race starts at 9:30 for the quads. For the youth quads, the race starts at 11. No parade lap there.
No.
And I believe the adults start at 1.
You are correct, but you forgot one thing.
What?
The Stasic race.
Oh, yeah. Starts Isn't it 4?
12:30.
12:30.
Yes, wow. 12:30. So that's the start time for other races.
Are they doing lawnmowers?
I don't know if they're doing lawnmowers at this event or not. I think, but don't quote me on that.
Okay. Yeah, don't quote me on it either.
Make sure that if you want to be prepared and you don't want to be that guy waiting in line, go on. Well, actually, they don't have that form, the sign-in form at the gate. But gate fees, as always, 6 and under are free, 6 to 12, $10, and everyone 13 and over is $20 at the gate. Entry fees, minis and youth are $25. If you're running pro, you're...
No one listened to this that's pro.
You never know. Maybe someone got lost and clicked on it by accident.
They didn't make it this far.
It's going to cost you a cool $60, but they pay back.
If you win.
Pro-ams are $50, and mere mortals pay $35. So, get ready to do some NECXC racing this Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Should be fun. Weather should be good. I think we're going to have a little bit of rain.
Should be.
Maybe Thursday, Friday.
I think it's Thursday night going into Friday morning.
That's what I thought I seen too. But hopefully won't be too bad. It'll be dry pretty much all week. It's been nice all week. So track should be very good condition.
I really like that track.
It is a nice track.
It's like another home track. I know it so well.
Yeah,
because I've ran it backwards, I've ran it forwards multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we raced there?
6, 7? I'd say probably 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Between there and GNCCs.
Mm-hmm.
I know we raced New East Coast there at least 3 times.
Yeah.
And I know 2 GNCCs.
Mm-hmm. So this will be, 6, 7?
Six.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of GNCC, they had a mutter race this weekend down in Georgia.
I'm glad we didn't go.
Yeah, I'm glad because I didn't have to wash the bike out.
I'm glad because I didn't have to go through that.
Yeah, that was nasty looking. Just watching it on TV, it was a muddy mess.
And watching WV Motard's video on it, you could see even better.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and sticking with that, you know, a shout out to some of the local people, the local kids that finished in high. That finished, yeah. I mean, I would say finishing that race is even an accomplishment. But
yeah,
local people to our area and people we race with. In the YXC1 class, Garrett Cox ended up 3rd place in his class, 3rd overall.
Who won?
It was Noah Likens won. I think that's his 2nd win this year.
Yeah.
I
believe so.
Gavin Brand in the YXC2 came in with a 4th, 17th overall. Braden Cox, 5th in the YXC2, 18th overall. And then We had Lily Fry, third on the podium in her class in the school girls, 12 to 15. Rounded out the podium in third, 32nd overall. And going down here, Jake Lovis, seventh in class. Wyatt Dolan, seventh in class. His brother Brody Dolan, second in the 125 limited. Jake was running the 250.
Why'd you say it like that, limited?
Jake was running the 250. Wyatt was running the 125 regular class. Grayson Brand in the 90 class, seventh in class. And that kind of wraps up most of the youth that, you know, we're used to racing against that race down in Georgia. In the AM race, our girl Chloe, not her best race, but she's keeping on keeping on. Had two tough races back-to-back, Florida and Georgia. But I look for her to really start coming back and kicking ass once we get up north here. Congratulations to Jessica Elioff, three wins in a row. That's pretty strong. At three wins in any class is pretty strong.
Yeah.
And then running super senior, Dave Mashisko, fourth in class, 49th overall. Jackson Ostrich, schoolboy 13 to 16th, first in class. He won that class. And then College A, Nick Deering, 15th in his class. Not his best showing. I'm sure that, you know, he's looking for a lot more than that, but that's a tough track. So, you know, Nick's usually always at the top of the leaderboards. And then we move on to the PM race.
This was surprising.
Well, if I would have picked this, I would have picked it exactly this way.
Really?
Oh, I'd have picked Bryson, Walker, and Wyatt. I mean, I'd have picked that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would have had it written down here. But, you know, congratulations to Wyatt Wilkin, his first podium finish in the XC1 class.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely deserving of it. He was flying, even led.
He led for a little bit.
He led for a little bit. What a finish.
Yeah.
Walker and Bryson.
They were right there.
Yeah.
If they had another lap, I think Walker could have passed him.
I tell you what, from what we were looking at, it looked like the passing was really tough. I know we were seeing the aerial view of it, the drone view of it, so we weren't seeing how the track actually was. But it looked like every time Walker could get a run on Bryson, it just...
There's no room to pass.
There was no room to pass, and there was just... It just couldn't... There was no traction coming out of there. I don't care what you had. It was just... It was really tough. But it made for very exciting viewing and an exciting race. So it's... I'm glad to see... Walker really coming back. He's getting better and better every race.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot can be said that about a lot of people. You know, Adam didn't finish as high as usually, but he's been dealing with a nagging, I believe, shoulder injury.
Just old man issues.
No, it's actually more than old man issues, but the old man doesn't heal as much as quickly as usual, but he'll push through it. He'll be there. He's in good shape. Great shape, actually. Let's see. Grayson Eller won at XC2. And the 4x4s was Brandon Frazier.
Mm-hmm.
Back-to-back wins. One in Florida and one here. So
here he means Georgia.
Georgia, yes.
We don't live anywhere near Georgia.
Well, that was kind of implied because we were talking about that race.
Yeah.
So the next race, they'll go back to South Carolina for, I believe they call it Bigger Buck. And then after that, on to Tennessee, where you're going to make your GNCC 2024 debut.
Mm-hmm.
You and that sweet mustache.
Shut up.
But
I bet you I could win that one.
You think so?
I think so.
I hope so. I mean, how much work are you going to put into it?
Enough.
It's never enough. You get in, which you get out what you put in. So remember that.
So I'm going to put it in first place then.
You're going to put in first place effort all the way up to it.
Yep.
Okay.
starting off by winning this new East Coast.
I told you, winners are made when nobody's looking.
I know.
Well, everyone will be looking.
And no one's looking.
There.
They're listening.
Okay, smartass. I want to give a shout out to one of our sponsors. So, if you've these last couple years have been a little bit trying as far as ordering parts and you know, you call and it's hard for companies to source things. You know, the inventory levels aren't what they used to. A lot of places kind of make it as they sell it. So you end up waiting for a little bit. And, you know, Wrath, one of our new sponsors this year, is kind of the same way. They don't have huge inventory. They kind of keep their inventory light, which allows them to, you know, operate in the manner that they do. But knowing that, you know, you plan ahead and you order in time. We had our Nerf bars ordered for this year.
Oh, I love them.
And they ran behind a little bit. And I was getting a little bit nervous because when I ordered them, you know, I called and asked them if we'd have them in time. And, you know, it wasn't an issue, but it started getting down to the end. And, you know, I called them and they said they're going to ship out on such and such date. And it turned out that, you know, they were a couple days behind and they actually called. And because I'm not saying this is common practice. I'm not saying that if you order anything from Wrath, you're going to get, and they're a little bit late. They're going to do the same thing, but they will take care of you. I promise you that you'll get a great product, even if you have to wait a little bit for it. But they overnighted our Nerf bars.
Really?
Here. Yes. Overnighted them and actually threw in some shirts too.
Yeah,
they didn't have to do that. I mean, everyone understands how sourcing is and how inventory levels are. And it was through no fault of their own. I waited that long. I mean, yeah, they kind of missed a little bit, but it happens. I mean, you can't hold that against them. You know, with each set of Nerf bars, there's three or four different channels that they can't control as far as materials and everything else. So, you know, they're relying on other people that may have the same inventory issues as they do, but just went above and beyond. Like I said, we got the Nerf bars next day, got them put on. I even got a pretty cool sweatshirt out of it.
Yeah.
Still
mad about that.
You got a t-shirt.
Yeah, but I wanted a sweatshirt. Well, I like sweatshirts more.
Too bad. You can't have everything.
I guess.
Yeah. But, and that just, I can say that about a lot of our sponsors. You know, if we really needed something, they would come through for us. And we're very lucky to deal with the people that we do and the companies that we do. Not only are they great products that all of our sponsors offer, they're just good people too. And I did a video talking about some of that stuff. I'll probably get it out here, I don't know, in the next week or so. But it just kind of touched on how we're not just sponsored by the company. It's more we're sponsored by the people within the company, the people that work for the company. We have a close connection with probably 80% of the sponsors that we have. And when I say close connection, I can talk to these people. We see them face to face. If I need them, I can talk to them directly. We talk to them at races, and not just always about racing stuff. You know, one great example, there's many great examples, but you know, if you listen to the podcast, you know how close we are with Pro Graphics and Liz, Trent, Chloe, we think the world of them. That's one of our sponsors that I can just text whatever I need and Liz takes care of it. Same with our shocks, Custom Axis. Yes, we buy Custom Axis shocks, but I deal with Micah. We deal with Micah. So if I need anything, mm-hmm. I just, you know, message Micah and say, hey, this is what I need. This is what I got. He takes care of it. And that's all of it. And, same thing now that we're partnered up with Partzilla, I can call them. I can call my contact at Partzilla and get stuff taken care of. Who else we got? Logan at Fast, mm-hmm. the Flex Bars. Just tell Logan what I need. He ships them out to me. Lone Star, same way. We used to deal with Bobby, and you know, now we're dealing with somebody new, but still the same thing. Just call them up, tell them what I need, ship them out to me. Chris Shoup, probably the one I talk to more than anybody as far as needing stuff and getting information and questions. I can text Chris at any time. He'll get back to me. And I think that's a very invaluable thing to have good relationships with all these sponsors. Yes, we're getting something from them, but I'd like to think that they're also getting something from us in the way of the podcast and in the way of us just promoting them, not only as a company, but individuals. I like to deal with people that I know. It makes it so much easier and so much more pleasant. And I know 80% of these people. You know, there's some that we don't know. Heck, even O'Neill. I've got to know, you know, messaged and emailed Alex Ray, the ex-Supercross rider. He now handles all the pro staff for O'Neill. So I've got several emails from him just keeping me up to date on stuff. So it's a great community of people and a good networking thing. And I'm sure a lot of you out there that have sponsors can say the same thing about them. And I really appreciate it. It's not so antiseptic where you just fill out a form and then it gets shipped. You know, there's actually someone that you can talk to. So speaking of Partzilla, we'll have some stuff to give away at the New East Coast
race. We will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we'll give away. We got a couple t-shirts we can give away.
Yeah, a couple. I took one.
Oh, I expected you to. Mm-hmm. Some other things that they gave us, you've seen in the unboxing video also.
If you watched it.
It was live.
And you missed out.
I also have a buttload of free shipping cards. And everyone says, well, you get free shipping on $150. Very true. However, I just needed something the other day. And I didn't feel like spending $150.
What'd you need?
I needed bolts.
Oh, yeah.
I needed 3 bolts, and they were $5 a piece. So it was $15. I'd have spent another $8 in shipping, but guess what?
You didn't
have to.
Mm-hmm. Or if you order something that's $149.99, you don't get free shipping.
This is true, but now you do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but they're one-time use.
Yeah, they're one-time use. So if you run out of them,
use it wisely. Or beg us for more.
Yeah, come listen.
Wink, wink.
And get some more. But other than that, that's pretty much it for the new
stuff
since the last one. I think. I can't think of anything else. I know there'll probably be something I'll think of afterwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we're going to have a call-in guest tonight. He's been on the show before.
Two times. Well, one.
Yeah, there was the lost episode. But Cole Richardson will be calling in a little bit in here. Cole will be calling here in a little bit. So we'll get him on and talk to him about his retirement life and how it's going. You know, if he's got any good shuffleboard tournaments going on. Maybe he's, you know, I'm definitely going to ask him if he's enrolled in the morning coffee club at McDonald's, that 5:30 in the morning coffee club, since he's retired. But, you know, we talked to him before about coming on the show after he stepped away from full-time XC1 racing, and he said he'd come on and do it. So we'll have him on here. So we got some questions, you know, ask him how life's going. I know he's still going to race a couple races. My bet is he'll race High Point. I don't know what else he'll race. I'd like to see if we can talk him into racing that 250R since he's not racing for points. Maybe he'll do that.
That'd be awesome.
But
in the pro class?
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
That would be sweet.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll get Cole on here in a little bit. And after that, we'll do our closing, talk about anything we forgot about.
Which there probably will be some things.
Yeah, probably will be some things. So, yeah. All right. Let's give Cole a call.
It's ringing.
It is ringing.
Hello.
What's up, man?
Oh, not much. How about you?
Oh, not too much. As you guys can tell on the phone, Cole Richardson. So, how's the retired life?
Oh, it's going good, but, you know, got the itch today. The weather was nice, so, you know, we had to bust out the quad a little bit, but still have the itch. Had to get my daily dose, you know.
So, have you joined the, like, 5 a.m. coffee club at McDonald's yet now that you're retired?
Not that early, but, you know, I could, but, you know, I'm usually in by 7 or 8, but normally around 7. So normally get up at 6. So not 5.
So what have you been doing now? I mean, kind of you can go into what went behind the retirement. I think pretty much everyone has an idea right now, but I mean, you can go into it, but what have you been filling your free time? I know you got engaged, so you're going to be getting married. So you got a lot of good things going on.
Yeah. You know, that picture was actually a picture from one of our friends' weddings during the summer. And I feel like a lot of people must have missed my engagement post because they, you know, are like, oh, you know, congrats, this and that. I'm like, hey, guys, you know, I got engaged before Ironman, but thanks.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that wasn't really, you know, the decision. The decision wasn't based off of that, you know. Did it have a part in it? Sure. But, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, it was, you know, I was very fortunate to be able to do what I did, you know, for the last 10, 11 years. Yeah, maybe it was a little shorter than most, but, you know, there's a lot of people that don't get that opportunity as well. So, you know, I can't take it for granted. And, you know, I'm very happy I got to do, you know, essentially what I loved. So, you know, I can't discredit that. Do I think I'm still in my prime? Absolutely. There's always a what if, you know, what if I stayed next year and I was forced to retire? I had a bad year. I'm number 10, I'm number 8, and I go backwards and I'm forced. It's like, oh man, you know, now I'm retired as number 8. And, you know, maybe that's what I get remembered as. So, right. You know, it's like, you know, we tied one of my better years, you know, we got a win under our belt, you know, and, you know, number 3. So I, you know, I'm like, you know what? You know, nobody even knew I was going to do this, even as far as my family, let alone my fiance now, until I told her as we were driving to the banquet. So, you know, my decision here wasn't, you know, swayed any direction from anyone. And it was, you know, ultimately up to me at the end of the day here. So, you know, I figured, you know, we're going out on top. Obviously we weren't on top, but, you know, we went out on top and, you know, on my terms, one of my better years. And, you know, I can live with that. You know, there's always a what if, like I said, you know, but at the end of the day, I sat back and thought, and I'm like, you know, retiring number 3 is way better than retiring number, let's say 4 or 6 or 10 or 12 or, right, you know, something like that. Cause you know, with racing, you don't know what'll happen. And, you know, that was one thing there that I was thinking of, but, you know, ultimately, you know, I'm 27. Yes, I got engaged. And, you know, a couple opportunities, you know, started to, you know, arise in front of me and things started to align a little bit. And I'm like, you know what, you know, it's really weird that, I'm working for my dad, and one of the, jobs opened up that it was kind of like, if I didn't jump on it, it needed filled. And, he's like, by the new year, I kind of need an answer here. And, so that kind of came about. My grandpa passed and my grandma was looking at, selling the house, and I'm like, oh crap, it's way easier to buy a family. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I just got engaged, I'm going to try, my plan here this year is to buy my grandma's house when she finds a condo. A job opportunity opened up, and it's like, all these things started to align to where, it's kind of like, the man up there is like, hey, your future is coming. Here's the time you need to jump on this. And, it's kind of where I was, and, racing's a tough sport, and, I put every dime I had into it, and, my racing, funded itself. I did it on my own, obviously with sponsors and stuff like that. And, people can argue if the money's there or the money's not, but, at the top level, we're spending so much money. And, when you dedicate your life to another year of racing, you're pretty much scrap that year. When you commit right. to racing, it's racing, and that's what you're doing. So, obviously Taylor, fiance, she's like, oh, give it one more year. I'm like, well, you do realize like another year that delays a house another year. Maybe that job opportunity is not there. Then, now the wedding's delayed a year. And, now that year plan turns into a 3 or 4, or, then next year it's, oh, give it one more year. Not, and it just keeps pushing on and on and on. It's a tough sport to get out of. And just a lot of things started to align, and I'm, just sitting back. I'm like, I gave it what I, the best I had. And yeah, there's a what if, and, try to set up for my future. I'm 27, and, I need to have a path to where I can, support a family, hopefully in the future, support Taylor and support myself inevitably. And this is kind of where I was, I gave it a fair shot in my opinion. And that's just kind of where I ended up.
Yeah. I mean, it's, like you said, you went out on your terms, and there's a lot to be said for that, because a lot of people don't get to go out on their terms. They have an injury, they end up having their good year, and then it's just chasing that good year. And like you said, 1 year turns into 2 years, turns into 3 years, and you got out. I mean, saying out is a hard term, but you got out of doing it as a job, let's just say
that. Yeah, for sure. And it's like I told a lot of people, it's like, even when I made my post, yes, it's a retirement post. It's a retirement post from racing full time. That doesn't mean I'm not gonna race ever again. Right. So I do plan to show up, and then in my head I'm like, I'm kind of content right now. I don't miss slaving away. I know Matt my mechanic doesn't miss slaving away. And, I actually work with him as well down at the business. And, just like even today, getting a quad ready to ride, I'm like, man, I really don't miss this. And, I miss the riding. Obviously once I got to my property, rode with my buddy Kenny that runs Pro-Am at GNCC, and my buddy Chris. And, we went out, we rode, and I'm like, oh man, you start getting that itch. And I've always had the itch. I didn't want to be done, but, for my future, I thought it was best. And so I do plan to show up. I'm just worried the moment I show up, it's going to be hard not to show up again. Yeah. So, that's the issue I'm facing. And, now I'm putting my, the money I'm making into it versus, racing kind of funding itself. So,
right.
It's, we all know what racing costs, and it's tough, especially when, you were getting paid to race and, now you're not. So it's different, but I do plan to show up. I don't know when. I'm not going to let anybody know when. I'm just going to pop my head in and, kind of stir the pot a little bit, maybe mess up the points. And when I do show up, I will be ready. I haven't stopped. I did stop for a little bit on riding, but, we haven't stopped training. And I will not show up unless I know I'm capable of, a podium and still battling. It could be a far stretch as far as battling for a win. Obviously, I'm not riding day in and day out like I used to. But, if you do it correctly, sometimes less is better. And, I'll show up and I'm going to be ready, so I want to battle. And it's just a matter of when am I going to show up, and who knows?
Well, I would venture to say, if anyone was a betting man out there, that the odds are pretty good that one of them, I mean, who's to say you're just going to do one? You might do two, who knows? I would say one of them would a strong possibility be High Point, because you've done fairly good on that track recently.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that one's kind of a giveaway, you know, you know, but then in my head, I'm like, you know, I could really get people all riled up and then just not show up. It would be funny. So, you know, there's a few things I'm like, I just feel like messing and getting in people's heads. That's what, you know, after one of my other podcasts, I think I did with Duncan Racing and Leonard and I think Junior, you know, Glotta, he messaged me and Snapchatted me or whatever. And he's like, hey, so what race is you coming to? I'm like, Junior, I am not telling you. He's like, I figured, you know, so he was trying to get the scoop on what rounds I was coming to. I'm like, Junior, who knows? I might show up Saturday morning and just right before the race, like I do at a local, hop up on Pro Row, unload my stuff without a trailer and show up to the line and just catch everybody off guard. Or I'll show up, have somebody else bring my quad, not park on Pro Row Friday or something, be incognito. I don't know. I have a couple cool ideas. I think it would be funny, but you know, it's just a matter of Mason Dixon. Yes, I do plan to be there. As far as I know, I'm still the winningest rider there at that venue. So I think I've won 5 of 7 races there. So that's a high possibility. You know, I do. It would be hard not to go there just for that reason, because it's one of those tracks that, you know, I've worked hard to win there, and I've also felt like I didn't ride capable to win, but I won. So it seems to sometimes just work in my favor, oddly. You know, obviously racing does take a little bit of luck, and I think with it being close to home and a lot like my local tracks here, it's, you know, it's not my favorite track by any means, but I do good there. So in the back of my head, you know, when I show up, I know I'm the guy to beat. And, you know, when I show up this year, whether I raced all year or not, people might have their doubts, but in the back of their heads, they know, I'm the guy to beat. So, I can't say that about any other round, but you know, the statistics prove that, you know, Mason Dixon. So, you know, I was looking at the dates. We have plenty of time to get ready, and you know, that's what I'm starting to do. So, yeah.
I think that's cool though. Like, it just keep everybody guessing, just show up and know. I think the more you can hide it up until the last minute, I think would be just crazy. And you'd have to,
I know, but then, you know, the biggest downfall of that, cause I have thought of every single avenue to make this funnier, keep people guessing.
You got
to
keep,
but the, you know, the hard,
you got to keep them off of it too, because you're going to have to register at some point in time. And you know, Mikey Wayne's is going to spill the beans.
Yeah, but you know, I agree, but I don't have to pre-register.
True.
And I could still show up Saturday morning.
Right.
You know, so I can prolong it pretty long, but you know, my biggest thing here is, you know, at the end of the day, I have a lot of people and friends that are like family there. And, you know, that is one thing that I truly, truly miss. And as much as I would like to really keep people on their heels and their toes and keep them guessing and mess with everyone, you know, I don't think the fun is worth missing out on, you know, hanging out with people I haven't seen, or, you know, people I've grown to become best friends and family with. So, you know, it would be really hard not to show up on a Friday, take advantage of being back at the track and hanging out with people like yourself and others, and kind of spending that quality time. Cause at the end of the day, you know, that's, you know, there's 2 hours of racing, and the other, you know, X amount of time that we're there Friday to Saturday is spending it with the people around you. So,
yeah,
you know, and that's one thing, you know, with Taylor, my fiance, you know, we all have friends at the track, you know, we look forward to being there, and it would be tough to miss Friday. So that's the biggest negative as far as showing up Saturday. So I don't know how I'm going to make it work, but I'm still thinking.
Well, here's an idea. You go Friday.
But we can't give away all the ideas. Oh, yeah, that's true. We can text about this.
Yeah,
right?
I'll have to text you about this, because I got a pretty good idea.
Yeah. I've already gave away some things, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So but yeah. You know what else would be really cool, since like you're out there having fun, like and that for is sure probably freeing in itself. Like, you're not worried about, oh, you know, I gotta save something. I just gotta get points on this round. I gotta stay in. Like, you can go for broke every round that you want.
Yeah,
to.
You know, and that, you know, that is one thing. You know, it's a little more stress free to show up, and you know, it's not like, there's not money on the line for me to make it to the next race. So, but then again, it's like, and now I'm spending my own money, which, you know, is never fun.
Welcome to the club.
Because I know how much the sport costs, and, you know, it's one of those things. But I think the joy in just being back at the track, I still have the mindset of being able to go out there and compete. And I'm not a person that's going to show up off the couch and just go have fun. I'll show up off the couch and go have fun, but it'll be showing up ready and physically ready and having the seat time to go have fun. So, you know, I'm not sitting here as a couch potato. You know, I'm still out cycling. I'm still going to the gym. You know, I'm still trying to, you know, getting back into riding a little more now that the weather's better and stuff like that. So, you know, I truly, you know, it's hard to stay away and it's hard to get out of that routine. And, but I'll tell you right now, I mean, riding today, you know, it was just, it felt like the old days to where, you know, you're just out there riding to have fun. You're putting in some time, but there's no specific thing you need to do. You know, I know what I need to do at the end of the day to be ready, but I don't need to go out and kill myself for an hour today. The weather was nice. I stopped, talked with my friends every lap. You know, we got some time in and it was just, there wasn't anything like, you know, if something went wrong, it wasn't like, oh man, you know, I'm going to lose out this weekend. You know, things aren't going my way. And
right.
it was solely just go out and ride and have fun, which, you know, sometimes you do lose that. And I always try and get that back every year. And, you know, but sometimes you do fall into that rut to where it's, you know, it is a job and it's hard to keep the fun sometimes. So it was definitely a lot of fun today.
And I noticed that too, like last year, because, and I mean, it's different for everybody. Like when you get on the line, like you get focused and you're looking at the task at hand. But even like last year, you know, at some of the events and stuff, it seemed to be like the grind of it all was really wearing on you. Like it was one of those things where it's like, I love what I do, but there's a lot about it that really takes away from it. And now you've kind of shed all that. You know, you can do it.
I mean, last year, I did a little less as far as riding. I actually honestly felt the best I have, as far as all my seasons go. It's probably the first time that I ended a year and didn't want to mess with my ATV as far as testing something new. You know, I left off and this is where the what ifs come in, you know, because it's like, you know, it's one of my better years. It's a year that I fell into a slump there a couple of years ago. I got my fitness back. I felt great. You know, we were up front more, probably could have had some better starts. I made some changes before last year that I really, really liked as far as the TDR motor and, you know, Texera Ed over there. And, you know, it's the first time I ended a year to where if I would have went to Florida to train, I wasn't immediately trying to switch parts, test different springs, valving, yada, 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 to where I was like, you know what? I am actually really content with my machine and I'm probably in the best shape I've been in a while. And this is where it kind of stinks. But, you know, at the end of the day, the only thing I really don't miss is just the constant, you know, behind the scenes, maybe working on the quads. And there's a love hate with that, you know, being in the garage, there does come benefits, bonding with people and working on stuff and stories. But, you know, it's just the amount of money that goes into it and the return you get's honestly the biggest thing that that really, you know, struggled. So, you know, it's, you know, you put your life on the line there for a little bit and, you know, you're fighting each other over a position for a few $100, you know, that could be a difference with some contingencies and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just, I wish there was some more support in the sport to where, you know, we can go out and we don't have to worry as much. You know, I mean, parts of last year, it was like, you know, I was having to either borrow money off someone or make sure I pull cash out because my card was a constant decline. You know, I didn't know if every gas station I stopped at on the way to your race, you know, my card might decline. I didn't know, you know, there was times at every race, it's like, how am I even going to make it there? How am I going to get home if I had a bad day? Stuff like that. So, you know, it kind of, you know, some of that stuff, you know, people don't see and they see a nice truck, they see a rig. Well, you know, if you don't have a nice truck, you're going to break down on the way. You know, if you don't have a trailer, it's hard to bring all your stuff. So, you know, people don't realize, okay, you know, you have 2-3 quads, whatever it is. And, you know, you must be doing good. It's like, no, people don't realize, you know, every single penny we make. And I know every single guy in the front line can attest to this. Every penny we make solely goes into our program. and there's nothing left over at the end of the day. So like on the outside looking in, yeah, we all have some nice quads. We keep stuff fresh. Obviously sponsors help with that and help with some money and stuff like that. But, you know, we put everything we make, but when you think about us with racing, you know, what do most of us do outside of racing? You know, I don't really, you know, there's not really many other hobbies. You know, it's everything revolves around racing, and that's what you're doing, and that's where your money's going. And, you know, that is one thing I don't miss, is just the struggle of, you know, trying to make a run at it. And yes, you can sit back and be like, well, why didn't you work and race? I like to put 100% effort in stuff. And if I'm going to work on my future, I'm going to put my focus on, you know, my job and, you know, further in my career and or life. And, you know, if I'm going to race, I'm going to focus on that. And, you know, there is a nice balance that you can find with it. But at the time, it's, you know, this job requires, you know, 100% of my focus. And if I got to get up and travel, which I've been doing a lot, you know, racing can't come first.
Right.
So once I get settled in some more this year, the first year is going to a lot of traveling. And, you know, that was the biggest thing is, you know, even with my dad, he's like, hey, you know, if we're not traveling, you want to race, you know, go race and stuff like that. But, you know, the job comes first. And next year, you know, we'll see about next year. You know, as I get settled in and I'm not traveling as much, there is a possibility that I could come back. It's just a matter of, you know, are those people that supported me before willing to support me again? Or is this going to be, you know, me taking the money from my job and blowing it all on racing? Right. So, you know, we'll see where we end up. But yeah, racing's a love hate, and we all fight the same demons with it. And it's just, it's hard. It's addicting. You know, it's,
it's, I like speaking on to your point there, you know, I wish there was more in it. Well, that could go both ways on your end, but like, I just wish there was more in it. Because like you said, you're putting every penny you have into this, and you literally 100%. Have to put your life on hold because you can't afford to do anything else. It's like you said, if you're going 100% in on this, then there's no time for a vacation. There's no time for other hobbies. It's like
100%.
Everything goes to that. And that's the really, you know, the shitty part about it is, like, it doesn't give you any options. Like, you know, if you're a professional baseball player, like, yeah, you play baseball as a living, but you can do hobbies. You have money to do hobbies, you know, and other stuff like that. Whereas you're all in as on the XC1 line, you're all in because there's not that payback that,
yep.
I mean, you can go back and forth.
And, yeah, it's, and you know, a lot of people are going to be like, you know, well, the ATV industry is stronger than it's ever been. Yeah, you know, I can see that maybe on, you know, some of the, you know, the shops and the sponsors. You know, COVID helped with a lot of that to get sales up. You know, we saw it in our business and stuff like that. And I think things are starting to go on the downhill slope a little bit now, as far as, you know, people are seeing those COVID, you know, those COVID records drop as far as like, you know, sales and stuff. And
right.
You know, the racing's kind of coming back down to where it was as far as support, in my opinion. But, you know, it's just a shame looking back in the heydays there, you know, when Bill Balance, Chris Borch, even there, maybe Walker's first couple of years in XC1 or so, you know, there used to be, you know, there used to be money in it. And that's where it's a tough pill to swallow. You know, it's like, you know, what if I was, you know, 15 years older or something, to where, you know, you was able to race in that time frame. You know, I was just born at the wrong time, I guess. You know, and there's nothing to say that something can't change within the sport. You know, there's a lot of amazing companies that put everything they have into it to support people like myself and others, and not taking anything away from that. It's just, I wish the industry itself, as far as ATV manufacturers, was a little stronger.
And
you know, that way the money would come back.
Right. But, and I think that's where it all starts, and not to put all the pressure on that, because like you said, there's a lot of great companies out there that are putting in the money and helping out as much as they can.
Yeah.
But it all comes down to, you still only have one manufacturer. And because of that, the market size, the way I look at it, the market size is dictated pretty much off of Yamaha. You know, it's,
yeah. I mean, if you sit back and think of this, and you know, it could happen, and it really wouldn't change anything, you know, and Yamaha's helped me for years. They've helped a lot of people. They're an amazing company. But realistically, if you think about it, if Yamaha was like, hey, we're still making ATVs, but they pull the support on every Yamaha ATV sponsored rider, what ATV is everybody still going to buy?
It's a Yamaha.
The only what is awesome about it is, you know, Yamaha could do that and it probably wouldn't affect them at all.
Right.
But they still put money into the sport, which says a lot about them as a company. So, you know, they don't have to, but they still choose to, and they still support the ATVs, which is awesome. But, you know, when you sit back and think of stuff like that, it's like, you know, Yamaha doesn't have to be here helping. They choose to be here helping. You know, they don't, at the end of the day, we're all still going to buy a Yamaha quad. So, it's the only one being manufactured, and that's where it kind of hurts the industry. You know, when it comes to us, is like, you know, if we had another manufacturer, you know, Honda's going to be fighting to get me or somebody else, or vice versa, whatever. Suzuki's going to be involved trying, you know, and that's where negotiations come into where you do get those better deals, you know, because companies want you to represent their brand to help with sales and stuff like that. So it's always been a tough industry. You know, I just was at the wrong time. I guess I was born a little late, but, you know, it's still a strong industry. It's just, I wish there was a little more to take home at the end of the day, but I still would not change it for anything. You know, I tell people all the time, you could reverse my life and give me a blank check and tell me to go about my ways, or you could tell me to live the path I already lived over again, and I would still choose exactly what I did and the people I met and the things I've accomplished and places I've went. So like, I wouldn't change any of the decisions I made up to this point if I had to start over. So
yeah, and that's when you know that you're truly content with what you did, because given the opportunity, you'd still do it the same way.
100%.
Yep. You know, and that's why, like, you know, speaking on the whole, like the industry and everything like that, that's why I'm so big on, you know, with Colton, you know, this is what he loves to do. And, you know, every 12-year-old thinks, you know, yeah, this is going to be it. But, you know, looking as a father, I tell him, you know, make sure that, you know, your schoolwork comes first, because you can always have the option to ride if you have another option to do something else. Because, you know, just look at these guys now, like they're struggling just to make these races. And, you know, it's great, but, you know, it's only as it goes. It's not going to get any better until it does. So you really can't bank on that. I mean, it's one of those things. If you're like really good and really super talented, you just keep riding the wave and see where it takes you. But, you know,
for sure,
I don't think anybody can look at it as like a career path.
I mean, it was like that even when I graduated in 2014, when I, you know, signed with Yamaha and Ampro with Randy Hawkins and stuff like that. It's like, you know, that was a crucial point in a decision for my life. You know, my future is like, you know, I'm getting ready to graduate high school. I'm, you know, running Pro-Am in 2014 for Yamaha my senior year with Randy Hawkins. And, you know, I ended up winning the championship that year. And it's like, you know, Yamaha wanted me to stay back, run Pro-Am again. I was graduating. And it's like, you know, this is where, you know, it becomes hard, is like, you know, do I go to college?
Mm-hmm.
Do I pursue this because I'm actually pretty good at it? And, you know, my dad is very firm on go to school. He's a businessman at the end of the day. So he understands, you know, he's every year was like, you know, you need to rethink this, you know, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I chose racing because, you know, when I sat back and thought of it, it's like, you know, life's short. I mm-hmm. tell people I live my life in reverse. You know, a lot of people work their young life away to, you know, retire earlier. I'm like, you know what? When I'm old, I can't, what am I going to do? Like I can travel. Obviously I'm traveling for racing anyway and some other things, but it's like, you know, what can you really enjoy when you start, if you do work to that older age, it's like when you do retire, what are you going to, you know, I can't go back and run XC1.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You know, in my head, time, I'm like, you know,
I have a hard time riding 40 plus.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I'm like, I'm living my life in reverse. I'm going to do it while I can. Tomorrow's never guaranteed. I have an opportunity that, you know, a lot of people, you know, work for. And it's like, you know, I'm going to take advantage of it. And like I said, I wish my career was longer. You know, I wish I got involved sooner. I didn't start until I was 16. So, you know, my first full year was 2013. So, you know, it's kind of like my career, I think, was a little shorter than I would have liked it to be. But looking back, I had I had 10 years to do what I loved, you know, right. And pro am to pro. So I can't ignore that fact. As much as I really want to hate not racing longer, I can't ignore that I got the opportunity I did to do it for as long as I did. So,
you know, somebody once told me life's just about seasons. So when one season ends, another one starts. So that season that were you having everything in it being just a full-time racer, you know, that season was over and now you're into the season where you're doing a regular job and still enjoying life and doing that. And who knows what the next season comes. You know, it could be, you know, working and finding a way to race. You never know what's going to happen. And that's the really cool thing about racing. It's like you don't, it's always there. Like, yeah, it might not be as XC1 championship contender, you know, 10 years from now, but 10 years from now, you could still go on a bike and ride pro-am. And if you stay in shape, you can still be at the top. You could still probably even do it in XC1. Like, that's the really cool thing about it. It's for not sure. Once you walk away from it, you're done.
Yeah, for sure. And that's where when I worded that retirement specifically, I said, I'm retired from full-time racing because, you know, like I said, I plan to show up, you know, who knows what next year holds and who knows how many rounds I'll do this year. So, you know, I agree on that 100%. You know, there can be a balance. A lot of people do it. There's adults in XC1, even pro-am, everything that, you know, actually work a job and race and still compete. So, you know, it is 100% possible, but that's just not what I wanted to do. You know, I don't like to half-ass things. So not that I would have, it just would have been a lot. And, you know, then, you know, it's a lot on Taylor. It's just a lot on everybody. And it, you know, inevitably it could be more harm than good. So,
right. And Colton's going to shrug his shoulders and roll his eyes because I'll talk about fishing, but that's like the same thing with me. Like there comes a point in time where it's not just the decisions you're making aren't just about you. Like when I quit tournament fishing a lot, I realized that it was impacting the people around me because I was constantly gone. I was constantly putting all my time and effort and money into chasing this thing. And everyone else around me was kind of suffering. And it was to the point where I was like, okay, well, this is still really important to me, but so are these other things. And you have to find a balance here. And, you know, at some time, something has to give.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly probably with a lot of sports or any sport or anything where people are trying to, you know, do what they love and make money. It's a double-edged sword. And it also takes very special people around you to be able to put up with that and see the same vision or believe in you. So, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I'll give Taylor credit for is, you know, she came in when I met her actually when I had wrist surgery. And, you know, so she really wasn't around racing or really knew kind of what I did. So I took her to Ironman there at the end of the year of 2017, just to show her the ropes. And from there forward, you know, she got involved. It didn't scare her off. And, you know, even now she's like, oh man, you should have raced another year. Like, she misses being there. And, you know, she knows the amount of work that I put in, and she's okay with it. And, you know, that's where it takes a special person to be by your side, and even your family, you know, to be able to be supportive and, you know, show up to the races, even, you know, when there's other stuff they could be doing. And it's a lot of sacrifice. Any sport is, you know, you might miss a friend's wedding. And, you know, that was a thing last year I really didn't, you know, particularly want to do. It's just, you know, when you're under contract to show up, it's just,
right.
You know, you're almost planning or having people plan around you. Like, mm-hmm. You're the center of attention almost. And, you know, it's not something that I liked, and it's, you know, but it's the hard truth, honestly. So,
yeah, it's work. So, I mean, yeah, but like you said, you're enjoying it now. Like, and it's just a different, it's probably a lot less stress, guaranteed.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
You know what?
You know, less stress on the body.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what Colton and I were talking about, and I'm sure this thought has gone through your head too, now that you got that 250R. That would be the perfect time to bring a two-stroke back on the XC1 line, because you're not running for points. you're definitely capable of doing it. And I mean, I know there's a lot of people that would probably like to doing it, but they just can't afford to take that
lose
gamble.
The points and yeah. stuff like that. Yeah. And I'll leave it at this. I specifically bought that 250R for the reason that it's an OEM frame, OEM cases. I will leave it at that. It's just a matter of when and where and how quickly I can do what I would like to do. But the process has started, so it's just a matter of figuring out where and when and if. So
we're not.
But no, I do want to do that. So.
Yeah, we're not going to dwell on it because we want to leave more questions than answers.
Oh, for sure. And So.
So, in the past, you've always been heavily involved with Action.
Yep.
Are you planning on doing the camp again this year? Is that one of the things that you were?
You there?
Yeah.
Did I lose you?
Yeah. No, still here.
There you go. Okay. I'm unsure on that. I'm going to have to say probably not as much as I would like to.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a lot of traveling coming up for work around that time. And, you know, it's kind of hard to commit. And I things can change. So it's up in the air, but I don't think I'll be able to make it. But I do want to do some stuff on my own this year, possibly. And, you know, take some time to help some of the youth. You know, those people that kind of helped me coming through the ranks, Walker, specifically. And you know, it's something that I would like to give back to, you know, people that are local and, you know, some people in the area, people willing to travel to be able to kind of do the same thing that somebody did for me. So there is a possibility of me, you know, maybe doing some stuff up here up north with myself or maybe even Walker and Josh. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all kind of talked, we all live by each other. We just never actually solidify a plan per se. So, right. You know, I'm not sure if anything were actually happen or not, but as far as myself, I would like to do something, you know, a camp or school myself.
There was somebody here that
I don't think I'm into.
There was somebody here that raised your hand whenever you said that. And it wasn't me. Not that I wouldn't want to. I just wouldn't benefit
very
much.
Yeah, because you're not youth. You're way past that, buddy.
Well, I didn't mean it that way. I hope anybody, but yeah, so.
Yeah, that would be cool. I know it's one of those things, too, where it's like, you know, I started still in the same career, but I started a new company last year. And that first year is hard because you still don't have a full grasp on, you know, what you're going to be required to do and what it's going to take for you to get that done. So like that first year, it's hard to make any real promises, even though, you know, you can look at it standing back and say, oh yeah, I should be able to make this. You really don't know. So it's really hard to make promises and commitments for that first year because anything could come up and then you don't want to put people in a spot when they're counting on you and, you know, for sure. Something outside of your control happens. So no, I totally
that's the biggest thing is, you know, with what I'm doing with the company is, you know, it's a lot of travel. Mm-hmm. Something could pop up. A lot of stuff is planned, you know, but there's nothing to say that I don't have to fly out in 2 days to go see a customer real quick and then fly home or drive or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is a lot of things that could pop up, you know, obviously everybody tries to make a game plan, but it does require a lot of traveling. You know, I've been to Florida already. I've been to California. I've been to Vegas. You know, we had layovers in Texas, Arizona. I've been to Illinois, you know, for a customer. So I've been around quite a bit already this year, yeah. To be honest. So, you know, that's the biggest thing, you know, the first year, you know, is, you know, my dad normally doesn't travel, you know, he doesn't really need to at this point. And, you know, but he is because he wants to introduce me obviously to certain customers that we've, you know, had for 20 years, you know, things like that. And, you know, kind of be on the road with me to kind of show me the ropes since I'm getting more involved and, you know, stuff like that. So it's a lot of traveling, but it's also worth it in the end. You know, it's the builder relationships and, you know, put a face to a name and kind of get introduced to people that kind of, you know, we both rub each other's backs essentially, you know. Yeah. So
what,
but yeah, there's a lot of unknowns.
What is the job actually? Because that's a lot of traveling all across the country.
Yeah, you know, I'm an account manager, so I'm kind of dealing with some of our accounts, and essentially you could say I'm outside sales. I'm kind of working with engineering, our quality, and our sales team. Mm-hmm. Kind of, I don't want to say the middleman, but you could say outside sales as far as the traveling goes. So, you know, I'm seeing different customers we have, going to certain trade shows, you know, seeing kind of where we're at, what we're in, you know, where we can get more business, things along those lines. So that's where the traveling starts to come into play. So,
yeah, it's definitely, it takes just the same amount of effort as your racing does. You're just
directed
it in a different place.
Yeah. You know, it's quite a bit, you know. I think we sell to about 300 different customers a month. So, wow. You know, we supply a lot of people. So it's almost endless. There's a lot of places it's going to take me, a lot of places I'm going to have to go and stuff like that. And, you know, but, you know, when I sat back and thought of this, you know, that was one of the things that touched base with what you just said is I'm like, you know what, for the last 10 years, my lifestyle was on the road, always a change of scenery, always outdoors, always traveling, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, going from that to, you know, 8 hours a day in an office and not ever leaving and showing up to sit in that office, to leave in that office.
Yeah.
Is a pretty big dramatic 180. And I'm like, you know what? Honestly, I don't mind the traveling, and it gives me the ability to kind of, I don't want to say for me, maybe not others, but for my previous lifestyle to now, it allows me to ease into this actually easier, because I'm still on the road. I'm still having that scenery, that change of scenery. I mean, I'm not stuck in the office. Now there might be weeks, there might be a month I'm stuck in the office, whatever. But most of the time it's, you know, you might be traveling 2-3 weeks out of the month, you know, so it does vary or fluctuate a little bit, but it's more of, it's kind of easier for me because I'm able to get out of the office and I'm not looking at four walls all day. So it's not one extreme to the other.
Yeah. Now is Taylor able to go with you on a lot of these? I mean, if she wanted to.
So, yeah, Taylor actually has worked for us the past, I want to say 2.5-3 years now. So she's worked for my dad in purchasing and stuff like that. So, yes, on the longer trips, you know, that was something I talked to him about and stuff like that. So, you know, it's nice that she already works for us to begin with. And on these longer trips, yes, she's able to come and travel with me and stuff like that. And, you know, if it's an overnight trip, like, you know, I had to go to Chicago to go to Kubota Engine, and I drove out literally for a meeting at 10 just to turn around and drive back the next day. So obviously she's not going to go for those.
Right.
But, you know, these longer trips to where, like, when we went to California, went to Vegas and stuff like that, you know, we plan accordingly to where, you know, I go to the trade show 3 days and then I stay into the weekend and explore, and then fly back, you know, Sunday and, you know, back to the office. So, you know, we are taking advantage to being able to, you know, go obviously for business, but plan it to where I'm able to spend a weekend in a city I haven't been, or country, or wherever it's going to be able to, you know, kind of sightsee and take advantage of it while I'm there.
Yeah. That really makes it nice, because now for sure, you're not just being away for a week and then coming home and, you know, she's wondering where you were for a week. So you,
Yep. And that was one thing that, you know, she did express a little bit when the offer was on the table. And then, you know, obviously we talked about it and figured out a solution and stuff like that. And, you know, it is, you know, with us getting married and, you know, inevitably me kind of being in line as far as taking over the company at some day, obviously this isn't going to be something overnight.
Right.
You know, with her working there, you know, she has nothing. I mean, she has nothing, but she's going to benefit as well. So it's a positive thing for both of us, honestly, whether it's her particular job or not, for her to be there and see what we're doing more and get more insight on the company as a whole, you know, actually is a really good thing. So,
yeah. Well, Cole, we're not going to go for any records tonight because it's just not, it's a school night and everything like that, but
yeah, it's past his bedtime, right?
Yeah, it's getting there. I'm gonna force him to bed so he can get up in the morning. He doesn't like to get up in the morning, but the good thing the good thing is, you know, we can always call you and catch up with you and, you know, especially 100%. Especially after one of these mystery races where you show up, we're definitely going to have to do a call again. But, you know, as usual, you know, we enjoyed getting to know you and spending time, you know, at the tracks and, you know, we're going to have to get together and ride sometime. It's just, it's so hard for me to be able to make that time because it's, you know, I got to work some of the weekends and the weekends I'm not working, we're out racing. So we got to try and,
it's big commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to try and have to get something together, maybe over like summer break or something.
I don't know where the job's going to take me. And, you know, there is a possibility to where I might have to go see a customer down by you and I could plan something to where I can come again, see a customer, drive down instead and spend a weekend or, you know, kind of help out or ride with you guys. You know, there's a lot of good opportunities, but it's not my focus, but I've already looked at most of the rounds and seen where we have customers and trying to plan accordingly. If next year, you know, it's a work trip,
but yeah, there you, go.
you know, it could work. And, you know, that we do have a customer, a few actually right in that Nashville, Knoxville area.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, I heard it was rocky. So that kind of hurt me. So I'm not sure about that one, but you know, I did put some heavy thought into Tennessee cause I haven't raced there since, oh God, I think that was 2014 or 15 when they stopped Loretta Lynn's. So
is that where,
yeah, and it's a new venue.
Oh, I was going to say, is that where it was? Because that was way before our time. I didn't think they ever raced at the old gray.
No, so that is a brand new track.
Yeah, that's
so I don't know if they have locals out there. That's actually Drew Landers. So he used to race Pro Am and XC1 and they have a bike team as well. It was like Land Mills XC. I think they still have one now. And they do a lot with Moose, but it's actually at their property. So you know, from my understanding, I could be wrong. I don't think I am, but from my understanding, it's actually a GNCC family's venue. So
I got you,
which would be pretty cool, but yeah we'll see how things pan out.
Well, Cole, as always, thanks for calling in and being willing to talk to us. You're always been a great guest to have on here. It's not me talking a lot. You kind of steal the show, and I like that because I'm sure people don't want to hear me talk all the time. They want to hear what our guests have to say. But yeah, man, we appreciate it. We wish you the best of luck and, you know, we'll see you at some of these races. So if you're going to ask me which one's Cole's racing, I do not know. So Cole was not going to tell me, other than maybe if we devise a plan, but I'm still going to stick to the fact that Cole never told me anything. And we'll just leave it.
We can leave it at you're probably going to see me more than once.
Oh, okay.
We can leave it at that.
All right, man.
You might see me more than two times.
You heard it
here. I don't know about more than that. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, no, it was awesome getting to talk to you. And I, like I said, feel free to call whenever and always willing to kind of discuss whatever it may be. So,
all right, man. Well, you keep in touch. We'll keep in touch and we'll see you later.
Yep, for sure. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Thanks.
Yep. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So you heard it here. You're probably going to see him once, twice,
three times, four.
Well, you don't know.
You don't know.
And we don't know.
We do not know.
But maybe we do know, and we're not going to tell. But that's our story. But I'm not telling.
We don't know. Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or do I?
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, so that was, I always like talking to Cole. He's a great
always
guest.
Always like talking about fishing, too.
Yeah, I do like talking about fishing. That was, you'll talk about racing one day like that.
I guess.
So, you know, it just a great guy, great competitor, you know, put everything he had into it and, you know, walked away when he was comfortable walking away. That's not an opportunity a lot of people have, whether it's, you know, through injury or just something else tells them. So mm-hmm. it's always good to be able to walk away on your own terms.
While you're on top.
Yeah. So
a lot can happen in 2 hours.
Yeah, a lot can happen in 2 hours. So, you know, that being said, we'll skedaddle.
No, we'll get into everyone's favorite segment.
Name our sponsors.
Yep. But there's a twist on this one.
Oh, there is?
We got a list.
Oh, the list.
The list.
All right. Well, you read your list. You thank our sponsors on your list. And all right. I will fill in the holes that we forgot.
All right. So Fast, Liat, ODI, ASV, GBC, HMF, PGX, Custom Axis, QuadTech. This is a new one right here. New East Coast. Well, I think we already said that one. Action, Lone Star, Chris Shoup, WV Motard, Renthal Chains.
Yes.
Hold on, let me fix that. Moose.
No.
GPS. Where was I? Alco Cleaners, Angle Coolers, Wrath, Nath.
Nath.
Shut up.
It's a new one. I'll give you a break.
Nash Solutions, DP Brakes, Rebel Gears, and Partzilla.
There, I am impressed.
Well, the list you sent me had Moose on it, so that's why I wrote that.
So yeah, Moose did not end up. Their program was full this year, so we did not get on the Moose team. However, we did get on the O'Neill team.
Mm-hmm.
O'Neill was happy to have us this year, and you know, one cool thing about O'Neill is our point of contact is Alex Ray. So
I don't have O'Neill on there.
You better put O'Neill on there.
I am.
So, yeah, that was a good sponsor segment there. So, it's
nice when we're prepared.
It is nice when we're prepared. And now we're prepared to go.
We are prepared to go.
We're an hour and 17 minutes, not an extremely long one, but
nope. It
was very informative. We talked about some stuff for the race this weekend. We get to talk to one of our friends, Cole Richardson, see what's going on with him. Put
three
some teasers
more days.
Out there. Three more days.
Three more days until the 10 seconds is called.
Yes.
For me, at least.
Yeah. Well, it's still a game time decision whether I take the 10 seconds or not. I probably will.
Probably. And I might take it, I almost said 20 times, twice. I'm still thinking about that one.
So, once again, at the race this weekend, make sure to hit us up. We'll have some stuff from Partzilla. Get us first so they don't run out, because once they're gone, they're gone.
I don't think they'll run out, though. The gift cards, they ain't running out.
Yeah, well, but we got a couple T-shirts. A couple. Some skull caps. What else do we have?
Stickers. Here, let me look.
We might have a pair of goggles we're going to give away.
Those better not be those Liat ones. Those are mine.
No. Partzilla sent us a pair of their goggles. So
we got shirts, hats, bandanas, stickers, and a jersey.
Oh, yeah, a jersey. Maybe we'll raffle that one off on the podcast one of these days.
Yeah.
So from all of us, meaning both of us here, to all of you there.
And
all of our sponsors. Make sure you're keeping it on four wheels.
Or three if you ride a three-wheeler.
All right. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. It means the world to us. If you like, please like, share, get the word out there, because the more people in this crazy thing, the better off it is for everybody. So we appreciate you. Thank you very much. And we'll see you at the races.
Toodaloo.
Bye.
Where is this?